to selfless kind in giving. Loving Christ abides forever, fainting not when ills attend. Loving, grieving, and forgiven shall endure until life's end. Please stand. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, as we find ourselves in this weekend that was preceded by Valentine's Day on Friday, we are reminded of your precious gift of love today. Give us a vision of true love, your love. In Jesus' name, amen. The word of God for our focus today is our gospel lesson from Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus says, love your enemies. This is God's word. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, gentlemen, how did you do? Did you remember your bride on Valentine's Day? If so, did you do it in a big way? I see smiles. How many guys did it in a big way? Maybe the wife can raise her hand and say that. My wife isn't feeling well today, so I'll raise her hand for it. No. No, it's a special day, and a lot of fun on that day. The question is, will you be my Valentine? And the candy, the flowers, all those good things, going out to eat. But today we want to have a vision of true love. We find that here in Scripture. John 3:16, the best Valentine is God. So, in fact, we can have our great big Valentine just like this, and we can turn it around and see what the vision of true love really is right there. Our Jesus, who did it all for us on that cross. But there's more to say. And that is our text for today, which helps us understand that God has a different idea about love than we do naturally. According to our human nature, we read in our text that we are to love our enemies? Really? Really? There's a vision of true love. And pray for those who persecute you? These words of Jesus were proclaimed in his Sermon on the Mount. We discover something in them. We discover three things: that love is a command, love is a gift, and love is the way. An illustration of how this works. A couple went into the pastor's office doing a lot of times what couples try to do when they're thinking about divorce, hoping the pastor will agree with them and bless their decision. And they told the whole story. They said, we've just fallen out of love. And he said, okay, since you've fallen out of love, they're going, oh, he's going to tell us, you get to fall back into love. They went, what? Yep. The Lord has a command. He says, husbands and wives, love each other. That is a command. If you refuse to obey that command, he says, Christians, love one another. If you refuse to love each other as Christians, he says, love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? If you refuse to love each other as husband and wife, as Christians, as neighbors, there's one more. Love your enemies. Love is a command. In John's gospel, Jesus gives us a new commandment. Now, commandments from God are something you can take or leave, right? You don't have to obey God's commandments. They're optional. No. God is the one who created the whole world, who gave us everything that we are and have and hope to be. When he says something should be so, we should say, yes, sir. So here's the new command. Let's read it together. A new commandment I give you, love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are to love one another. There it is. Just as I have loved you, you get to love one another in Christ. There is the command. Now, The neat thing is, when God gives a command, he also gives the power to obey his command, to follow his command. But he goes on to tell us that in this world, there are people that don't know how to love. They say, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But the Lord says, why do you do that? He says, resist it. That's evil. If someone slaps you in your right cheek, what are you supposed to do? Is that our human nature? No. Our human nature has something to do with slapping, but it's not our own cheek. Someone forces you to go a mile, go two with him. Besides that, you'll get more steps in your Fitbit. If anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. Give to the one who begs from you. Do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. You've heard them say, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. You know, God has commands for us and rules. And one that's really neat, this one you find in a lot of different religions, but it goes way back to the Old Testament. I think God's people had it first. It's so simple. Do to others as you'd have them do to you. What's that man doing? He's reaching down to someone in need. If you were in need, would you want someone to help you? We get to be God's love to people all around us. In Leviticus 19, they're told that if you're harvesting, leave something there for the poor. Think about others. He says, do not steal. Do not bear false witness. We had that in our lesson for today, too. And he says, if you have someone working for you, give them a full day's wage. So many things where we get to be God's love and do the right thing. In the gospel lesson for today, the Lord gets really pointed. And wow, I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable for judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. Whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. Wow. We have a lot to think about. Being God's love to others encompasses so much that is so much against our natural tendencies. But the Lord is saying, even if you're bringing your offering, I don't want your offering. If things aren't right between you and others, be reconciled to each other. What's the neatest thing in that slide right now? The neatest thing is the lower right-hand corner. Two hands shaking with what in the middle? The cross. The Lord is the one who makes reconciliation possible. Well, loving others is in order. It's something that God wants us to do. He tells us, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, and the power of the cross. Because love is a command, but it also is a gift. Today's gospel lesson clearly outlines what God has to say about marriage and divorce. The ultimate message is about God's power to bless marriages, even broken ones. Let that sink in. If it may hit home or if you know someone who's having problems, simply put, the one who puts us together in marriage can keep us together. I like that picture of the couch. When God is in the center, two people sitting there, God, it'll all come together. He's at the middle. And what's on the right is something I like to share with couples that come to me. The one who brings husbands and wives together has the power to keep them together and make marriage better than they can ever imagine. Should that be surprising? Who's the author of marriage? Who created it? Can he make it great? Of course he can, when he is at the center. A woman was talking to her pastor about how this worked out for her in her marriage. She and her husband had not been talking to each other for weeks. The possibility of divorce was in their minds. In desperation, one day she thought to herself, I'm going to ask him how his day went. Where did that thought come from? Then she thought about all the things he had done and said, and she was getting more and more upset. But when he walked in the door, she just blurted out, how was your day? He stopped. Well, it was pretty good. How was yours? Her heart melted as she heard the first kind words from him in a long time. They started talking much more. The Lord led them out of that dark space they had been in. Their concern and love for each other was a gift that they needed to share every day. Here's another pic that talks about that. A marriage can go from ordinary to extraordinary when Christ is placed at the center. I love the plaque on the right. That's one we have at home. Christ is the center of our home, a guest at every meal, a silent listener in every conversation. Is Jesus at the center of your marriage, the center of your life? Even if you're single, is he at the center of your life? He is to be there for each one of us, leading us, guiding us. As we understand that his command to love others is just that, a command and a gift. Paul told the Corinthians, for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. The third point is that love is the way. That's why the Lord is saying, love your enemies, do good to those who despise you. I love how John wrote in his first letter. Let's read this together. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. He's done it all for us, showered his love upon us, and we don't deserve it, because remember, every day we're slapping him with our sins. Yet he still loves us, and that's what we get to share. Remembering the ultimate definition of love is not a box of chocolate, but right here. Another verse for us to read. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Here is the power. This is God's vision of true love for everyone. It's because of his sacrificial love that we now get to love others. Husbands and wives, parents and children, neighbors, residents in your senior apartment, and classmates, teachers, and students. Even, put on your seatbelts, I'm actually going to say it, Democrats and Republicans. His love is there for all. And what does he say? Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. And let the love of Christ flow through you and make a difference in the lives of others. And that's exactly where it starts. The love of Christ. The Father's deep love for us. Floyd, would you exit from that upper right-hand corner? This worked before church. It worked before church with one click. Upper right-hand corner, thank you. Then go right back to where we were when that started.
How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure. That he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away. As wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Thank you. boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom. But I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer.
That's it. Yep. There you go. Good job. His wounds have paid my ransom. By the way, if you want to check that out on the internet, that's How Great the Father's Love. Just look that up. You can see the whole song there. He has done that for us. That's the power then for us to love our enemies, to pray for those who persecute us. This is our vision of true love. Vision of true love that goes back to Friday, but we're not going to the box of candy. We're going to the cross, to the message. I love this. Whoever came up with this did a great job. We see Valentine. There's the word. And there is the gospel in a nutshell. Shall we read that together one more time and let that be the motivation for us? Understanding and following love that is a command, love that is a gift, and love that is the way. We read, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Only one little thought left. Happy Valentine's Day in Christ. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you, give you His peace, His joy, His strength, His love, His everything. Amen. Good morning once again. So good to see all of you on again this bright, beautiful Sunday morning. If you notice on the slides, next Sunday is the annual meeting for A Place of Refuge. Should have been up here much earlier than this for you, sorry. But it'll be here at St. Paul's. If you'd like to attend, just call the church office. If you'd like to help serve the catered meal that's coming, you'll be more than welcome to help us do that too. Let us now close with our final prayer. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. And may I humbly do my part to win that soul for thee. Amen. Let's depart in peace and the love of Christ and serve the Lord.